Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, Episode 52. Today we're reading Chapter 52 of the novel, In Family Drama Just Won't Stop, by Daniel White III with his wife Marika White. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. Pastor Richardson arrived in his office at 10 on Monday morning, which was quite unusual, seeing Monday was his day off. He had decided to take Tuesday off to spend the day with Sister Richardson, who would be coming home that day. Sister Montague and Sister Reynolds took care of all meals for them for that week. After Pastor prayed with Brother Montague, Brother Reynolds, and other members of the staff, Brother Montague asked to meet with him, where he disclosed the contents of the letter. Pastor almost hit the roof. Who could be so treacherous? That old devil never stops. Do you know how many people received this? He asked Brother Montague. I received about 15 phone calls about it. I told them not to believe any word of it. It was left on the windshield wipers apparently when we were all in church. My car was somehow overlooked. Whoever did this is slick. My car was overlooked also. If you want to start something in the church, just overlook the pastor and go straight to the members. Even if there is some truth to this, Brother Montague wondered out loud, who would have such bitterness in their hearts to try to ruin someone else's life and family? Does Brother Reynolds know anything about this? I haven't said anything to him about it. Judging from his spirit this morning, my best guess is he does not know anything about it, Brother Montague said. Well, if you don't mind, since the church members called you about it and you brought it to me, I'd like for you to sit in on this. I'm going to call Brother Reynolds in and get to the bottom of this. Brother Reynolds let out a sigh after reading the letter. He shook his head slowly, trying to hold back a smile. He said, Pastor, I know who this CM is. It's Caroline Martin. She's the lady in red who visited here a few Sundays back, Brother Montague. I have a history with her. Not a good one, though. I'll tell you the whole story. Pastor Richardson already knows about it. Brother Reynolds gave Brother Montague the scoop, in detail, of his history with CM. She came here that Sunday to cause problems for me, but Pastor and I outwitted her. I thought she was embarrassed enough and had given up, but I guess I was wrong. Pastor, we have to come up with another plan for her. She does not give up easily. Judge for yourself, Brother Montague. He's been here a year now. Let me call this former pastor and find out more about this CM, just where she now stands as far as her position in the church. Pastor Richardson wasted no time in getting to the heart of the matter with Pastor Birch. He shared with him the contents of the letter, and also about how showing up on Sunday and the phone call she had made to Pastor Richardson, or rather to Pastor Reynolds. After hanging up the phone, he said with maybe too much glee, Just as I figured, gentlemen, Pastor Birch had to put her out of the church because she refused to leave the married and unmarried men alone. On top of that, whenever she was confronted, she would make it seem as though they were the ones hitting on her. Frankly, she was causing a great stir among the members, especially the ladies. Her husband divorced her a while back because he could not say anything to quiet her down. She was embarrassing him everywhere and at any time. The men could not help smiling. They decided to pray about it and meet back at about 2 after Pastor Richardson checked on Sister Richardson. Brother Reynolds made a copy of the letter to share with his wife over lunch. She was shocked. This lady never gets the message, does she? She's a stubborn one. I'll be sharing it with the children later this evening. We have to prepare them for anything, lest some gossiping gets to them before we get to the bottom of this. Brother Montague had a pleasant lunch with Monica, who was home by 1 on Mondays. She had not spoken with Jonathan, so as far as they knew, he knew nothing about the letter. If you don't mind, don't say anything to him about it at all. This Caroline is making things up, her father told her. Promptly at 2, the men gathered in Pastor Richardson's office. After prayer, they proceeded with the business at hand. "Any solutions, gentlemen?" he asked. "I plan on telling the children about it over supper this evening. I don't want this lying letter getting into their ears by some other means," Brother Reynolds said. "I'm thinking we could probably call an emergency meeting after church on Sunday, if not Wednesday night, and briefly explain to those who receive the letter to disregard it," Brother Montague said. "That's a thought. I was thinking along those lines," Pastor Richardson said. "Pastor," Brother Reynolds said, "I believe she's going to turn up for church on Sunday to see what damage she thinks she has done, and to see if you'll go running into her arms like a hurt little puppy wagging its tail." Pastor and the brothers had a hearty laugh. "I'm sorry, I just had to let that out. Laughter is good medicine. I many times like to have a good laugh when I am in a bind." "She's a bad somebody if she returns to the scene of the crime," Brother Montague said. "On a serious note, though, I agree with you both. We need to nip it in the bud, and she's going to turn up on Sunday, probably in her red dress." Pastor shook his head. "Oh, where are the days of modesty? And I won't say anything about it on Wednesday. And I'd appreciate it if you don't either. Here's what I propose we do. And Brother Reynolds, you have to be up for it. I bring it up after the preaching on Sunday. And Brother Reynolds, you'll have to stand before the church and in a sense confess before it gets worse. You don't have to go into any deep detail, but I'll leave that up to you. Focus on the letter and add to it what you deem necessary. Of course, I'll share with the church family what Pastor Birch told me about her. Doesn't that sound like a winner?" Brother Reynolds nodded. "You won't have any problem sharing some of your personal life with the church family, will you?" Pastor Richardson asked him. "Oh no, I want this completely closed, boxed off, and over with, so me and my family can go on with our lives. Besides, I've shared some of my failures from the pulpit, so I have no fear," Brother Reynolds said. "Wonderful. You know, it's an amazing thing how that when you confess your own failings, whether on your own or by telling the truth, when asked, people will still love you." "I say amen to that," Brother Montague said. "Well, let's just pray about it daily. God will give us the victory. By the way, people are going to be whispering and giggling on Wednesday night. If I were you, I'd leave my wife and children at home. I wouldn't want them to feel small in any way," Pastor Richardson advised Pastor Reynolds. "That's good advice. I'll share the letter with them and our plan to squelch it. I know James will be glad to spend the entire evening on the computer playing games." "Seems like everything is all set then." All nodded as they rose from their seats to shake hands. "I almost forgot, Brother Montague. Do you think Monica would mind missing Bible study to spend some time with Sister Richardson? I just need for someone to sit with her on Wednesday night while I'm here at the church." "She would love to, Pastor," Brother Montague said. "I'll drop her off myself." "Thanks, brother. Sister Richardson does not understand bed rest. She'll be up doing just about everything. Well, men, let's come battle ready on Sunday." Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give him the pen by trusting him with the life he gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how. 1. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. 4. Accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Thank you so much for listening. May God bless you. Until next time.